Thank you, Brother Adam. Is there anything up there on that screen? Good evening to each of you and to those that are live streaming. I always forget about you. Good evening. I'm thankful to be here this evening. A lot of thoughts on my mind today. Tired today. As you might have remember this morning, Adam saying that we got up very early yesterday morning and went to the hills and played, I guess you would say. I'm always amazed at God's goodness and his blessing to us. I'm amazed that my old truck continues to run. I figured we traveled some 80 miles, 85 miles yesterday on dirt roads and without a problem and enjoyed ourselves most of the way. Some of it's kind of rough, but and I'm always amazed at the fact that I've lived in Arizona my whole life, and there's just a ton of Arizona I still haven't seen, and am thankful every time I get the opportunity to see some more of God's creation. And anytime I go into the cedar trees, my wife is like, "Oh, this is so ugly. I just think this is so ugly." She likes the pine trees. And I like the pine trees too, but there's a lot of pretty places in the cedar trees as well. I titled my sermon a little different, "Eye Hath Not Seen Nor Ear Heard." And part of that comes off of my comments I'm making right now, obviously, that I'm just amazed of the beautiful things that God has created for you and I to see. I'm just amazed at whether I'm in the desert or on the ocean or in the mountains, I can see beauty. A week ago, Saturday, my sons and I were up just south of the Grand Canyon, over much further west than most people go, and there's areas of that terrain out there that's, I'm guessing the moon's got more grass growing on it. I mean, there's just nothing. It's just blank. And even with that, though, I can see beauty in the way the land's shaped and horizons that are protruding up, and maybe a lone, sad little tree out there in the middle of thousands of acres, you know. I can still see beauty in it. And there was probably a time in my life I couldn't, but I can today. And I just wonder, and these thoughts make me wonder, you know, how God looks at us and how he looks at his creation. And I know that his wisdom is much vaster than ours, and makes me wonder, though, when I have time to reflect upon how huge the earth is and how huge the surroundings are and really how small I am in the overall picture of things. And My field of influence, if you would, you know, there's 60 people in this room, and I work with two dozen people and 100 or two on my job. But really, out of the millions and millions of people on the earth, each one of us have a fairly small field of influence. But yet, if each one of us influence a couple people, who influence a couple people, who influence a couple people, obviously you could see how that would be well. I'd like to start this evening in scripture. I believe I read this scripture here not too long ago, but I couldn't find it. So it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, it says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that ye mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mightest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mightest see." Obviously, this is the Lord speaking to us totally in a spiritual sense. But I find it very applicable in my own life and the lives of people I see around me that think they're doing great, You know, they think they're doing great. I was talking to a young man last week, and he's a nice young man, very young, 18 years old, 19 years old. Moved down here to Arizona to work, and he has a girlfriend here or something, I don't know. But not a member of our church, obviously, but when I interviewed him a few months ago, one of the things he told me was he was raised in a very conservative Christian family and homeschooled. They had a bunch of kids, and they were homeschooled. And he's a nice young man, but I still look at this disconnect between our profession of our faith and our actions in life. And I'm sure that people look at me and say that, well, that guy says he's a Christian, but I seen him do this or say that, or he lost his temper here, or whatever it is, you know. And so sometimes we think that we're rich. And we may not be. So I feel very rich, blessed of the Lord. But I know that spiritually, sometimes I'm blind. Continuing those same verses of scriptures. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and sup with him, and he with me, and to him that overcometh will I grant to sit down with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And I again, these words speak to my heart. Hopefully they speak to yours. This prize, this glory, this blessing of heaven, of eternal life, is granted unto those that overcome. Not to necessarily those who succeed every time, but those that overcome. And if we're overcoming something, then it must mean there's some difficulty to be had. If we're overcoming, it's not just being handed to us. There's a task in life. There's a time for us to perform our labors. And I'm going to read that scripture in a minute. But in Matthew in chapter 6, verse 32, it says, "For after all these things," and there's a whole long list of stuff, and you know this verse, and I love this verse, one of my favorite verses, I've said that before. "For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I fear sometimes that we become consumed with seeking the things of life. You know, and seeking a better whatever. Better house, better car, better truck. I'll tell you a quick little story. One of the gals in my office, the engine in her car, she had a simple little car, blew up the other day, or 2 months ago, I guess it was, and it was Ford Motor Company said, that's our fault. That was a failure in that engine. We'll replace that engine for you. So they gave her a four-door pickup truck to drive. Well, she hated it the first week, and the next month and a half, she loved it. And here the other day, she had to give it back. And one of the guys in my office was trying to convince her to go out and buy a new truck because he stated two or three times, well, I just think it's important if that's what makes you happy. And I finally set up and said, you know, and she's a very conservative young lady, careful, very analytical thinker. And I told her, I said, you know, for me personally, a truck doesn't make me happy. A vehicle is to get me from point A to point B. As long as it does that with me out having to walk too far, I'm good. I said, but, you know, things don't necessarily make us happy. And I found it interesting that the gentleman that was talking to her said that over and over. Well, if that's what makes you happy, you know. And that's an attitude that we have in life, that things can make us happy. A new car, a new motorcycle, a new whatever is somehow going to make us happy. A new haircut, new clothes, I'm going to feel better. And you may You may feel a little bit. It's not going to make you happy, though. You know, it's not going to make you happy. Because true happiness only comes through that verse right there, the 6th chapter, 33rd verse, seeking first the kingdom. If we seek first the kingdom, God's going to fill in all the blanks. I find myself in my age now, not that I'm that old, but I have a lot of weaknesses, both physically and mentally and spiritually. But I know if I continue to seek the kingdom, God will fill in the... He'll make the rough spots smooth. He'll take care of a whole lot of that if I'm truly seeking the kingdom. Alma chapter 16, verse 238 says, "For behold, this life is the time that man prepareth to meet God." That's what we're here for. You know, God has a purpose for us. I believe the sooner we can figure that out, the better. But our real reason in creation is this right here, a time for man to prepare to meet God. Each one of us, unless things change drastically very soon, we're going to meet God. We're going to go to the end of our life and meet God. And if we happen to be fortunate enough to live, be alive at the day the Lord returns, we're still going to meet God. So either way, we're going to meet Him. Yea, behold, this day of life is the day for men to perform their labors. This is the time. This is our opportunity. And my encouragement this evening to each of you would be, let's don't waste the opportunity. Let's don't waste the opportunity. Sometimes we look at it kind of negatively. Sometimes we can look at it, I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm going to tell you a little story here in just a second. Let's don't waste the opportunity, even if we have to get out of our comfort zone. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can no labor be performed. So this is it. This is a time for us to work. This is a time for us to fix ourselves. This is a time for us to allow the Lord to fix us, because I don't think I can necessarily fix myself spiritually, emotionally. This coming week, I got a 2-day training, in which I'm supposed to be one of the leaders of, but it's kind of for the leaders too, I think, and I'm not looking forward to it at all. Right now the schedule is I got to be there at 5:30 in the morning and be there until 9 o'clock at night. And it's some kind of immersion thing, and it's really designed to get people out of their comfort zone, to embarrass you, to just draw you out of your comfort zone. And so I'm guessing I'm probably not going to like it, just a hunch. But as I thought about that, and I've thought about it quite a bit for the last couple weeks, and endeavored a couple times to try and get out of it. I thought, really, that's what each of us need. We need to be called up higher. The training is for my work. It's that each of the guys, all superintendents, would take the next step in their career, take the next step in the development of their career. The thing I don't think they realize, the next step in my career is retire. That's not totally true, but that's the goal. But I look at these things, and most of you know I've been reading different books and management books to try and help me in my career as well. And I try and always figure out, how do I apply this to my spiritual life? And so I'm just guessing that maybe after this 2-day training thing, there might be another sermon in the works there. We'll see how it goes. But the Lord desires us in this life to come up a little higher. And when you get there, come up a little higher. And when you get there, come up a little higher. Throughout the course of our life, whether we're young or whether we're old, and now's the time. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not the next week. Now's the time to make those decisions for whether it's baptism or service or whatever it is that you need to be doing in your life, that now's the time, not later. Don't procrastinate that day of your repentance. Wherefore, 1 Corinthians 10, 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. And I think this is just important advice for each of us. You know, we get comfortable. We get comfortable where we're at, you know, and there's nothing wrong with evaluating where you're at. There's nothing wrong with evaluating where you stand. Is this where the Lord would have me? I just wrote a little note so I wouldn't forget it on the next one. You know, can we see ourselves as God sees us? I don't know that we can, but I think we ought to try. You know, if we're evaluating ourselves, if we're looking at our own place in life spiritually, can we actually see ourselves as the Lord sees us? Can we make that evaluation? It's easy for me to look at my neighbor or my wife or my sons and say, oh, well, you should do this. But what about myself? Can I look at myself? Luke chapter 10, verse 18, and says, and he said unto them, behold, Satan has as a light has fallen from heaven. And I've used this verse twice lately, but and I don't know that I ever used it before then, but it just made a lot of sense to me. Behold, and this is the Lord speaking, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of your enemies, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in these things, in this rejoice not, that the spirits can be subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And I think this is important thing that sometimes I think we miss, and that is that for those that believe, for those that desire to serve the Lord and step out in that faith to serve Him, the Lord has given us power over those things around us. He's given us the ability to be victorious. We have to believe up front that we can be victorious. And I normally don't do this, but I wrote this down as well. That Strong's definition of the word power, and its privilege, force, freedom, mastery, authority, jurisdiction, power, right, strength, all those things that would maybe make it look, because power sometimes is where we think, whoa, I'm all powerful. I'm not saying that at all. But the Lord has given us strength to do what's right. He's given us freedom over those things that can hurt us, conquer us spiritually in life, and I believe physically as well. I want to read this next verse. I'm flying. It says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And somebody referenced this verse this morning in our Sunday school. We don't see everything today perfect. This is a continuation of those verses. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I am become a man, I put away childish things. There's a progression. There's a maturity for us spiritually. But it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. We spoke about wisdom the other day. I think it might have been in our Sunday school class. And I made the comment that, you know, I've known people that were younger that were pretty wise. And I've known people that are older that wasn't wise at all. Okay. And it's this way with this spiritual. We have to begin to make those choices in our life that bring us to the realities that God would have us to understand. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And I've always liked this verse of scripture. And I don't know that we're going to see the then is when we stand before the Lord. But I think it's important that we recognize that we don't always see everything. We don't always understand everything as the Lord would have us to understand. I didn't want to be outdone by Adam. You know, he brought a prop this morning. I thought, I haven't used a prop. Oh, that's right, he brought three props. So I brought a little prop. I might need some help. It's one of my favorite props, by the way. And because of this verse of scripture, though, that we see through a glass darkly, and I found this interesting. This is a tripod, obviously. Some pair of binoculars. I'm going to check out and see if any of you guys are sleeping. I'll be able to truly see if your eyelids are closed. This is a picture. Bet you figured that out. It's a picture through these binoculars. Hey, Asher, would you come up here and help me, please? Why don't you look through those and tell me what you see. Do you see the clock? Why not?
Because these are
closed. Oh, the caps are on. I hate it when that happens. So you mean we got to take the caps off in order for you to see through it? Take another look and see what you see. Can you see the clock?
No.
Adjust it so you can. You go up or down, you can go.
Yeah,
I
see the clock.
You see the clock?
Uh-huh.
Pretty clear? Let me see. Yeah, it might be a little too close. How about now?
That's good.
That's good? Okay. So we can see the clock from here. I'm glad to hear that. This picture here was taken at probably 800 plus yards with probably some of the, thank you. You can set some of the best binoculars that most sportsmen could purchase, and it's not that clear, is it? It's just not that clear. Can you see anything on there? Do you see animals on there, anybody? You're not fair. You know there were some animals there. Jesse, you see animals there? There are, believe it or not. There's a whole herd of antelope in there. But they blend in well. And it wasn't until after I took the picture and then zoomed in on it that you could actually see it. And I feel like that spiritually, we really find ourselves in a couple different conditions. One, we have the scriptures, we have the Spirit of the Lord, and we walk around with the covers on. We don't use them. We carry them with us, perhaps. We might even make statements like, yeah, I'm a believer. I belong to the Church of Christ. But we're not even using those things to see that the Lord has given us. And then we fall into the next category where we take the caps off and we're straining real hard. And I'm here to tell you, I was straining hard to see through those things. And with the light, it was pretty bright. And then once you do see the critters, I'm looking at that even now. I look at that and say, I can't tell if it's a buck or a doe, a male or a female. They're antelope. I can tell that much, you know. And so we strain. We strain with some of the best technology that money can buy. I'm sure there's a lot better than that if you have enough money, but best technology my money can buy to be able to see what we're looking at. And I feel like that in a spiritual sense, we do the same thing. We strain. We strain to see, even though the Lord has given us the tools to do it. Even though we have the ability to zoom in on His Word, to zoom in on the presence of His Spirit in our life, to find a greater sense, to step up higher, we have that ability. But even with that, we don't use it. We don't put it to work in our life. I'm going to read another verse here. This is in Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And for you and I, that we make this claim that we love the Lord, and I believe we do. And do we think about that? You know, that it's that great of thing that He's prepared for us. Excuse me, that He's prepared things we can't even comprehend. You know, yesterday Adam and I and the boys were driving down this dirt road, one of the last roads we went in on. We're on this very large ranch, largest ranch in the state of Arizona. And it's just hard to fathom how big it is. It's huge. And we're driving on this dirt road back in there, and it's just cedar trees. We come around the corner, and there's a little, it's just a small little canyon thing there and some rock bluffs, and then all of a sudden there's some other kind of tree. And the more I looked at it, I really thought it might have been a walnut. But they're low to the ground, they're really deep green and beautiful. And as I look at that, I'm like, what am I looking at? And right behind these trees was a rock. They were grown right up tight against this rock bluff. And it was just the prettiest little spot. You wanted to just go over there and take a lawn chair and have a seat, you know. And I think of that hidden beauty in this kind of bland landscape, you know. And it makes me think, though, that spiritually, there's a lot of hidden beauties that we're not seeing. There's a lot of hidden opportunities that we're not finding. There's things that the Lord's offering to us that we're not receiving. And we're not partaking of it. And the reason we're not is because we're not applying, we're not looking, we're not coming up to the next level. That next verse, verse 10, it says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So we can know by the Spirit of the Lord. We can know these things. He can make them evident to us. He can reveal it to us in this day, the things that He has for us. But we have to be willing and desirous to reach out and to find that thing that He has for us. So that's pretty much my message for this evening. If you walk away from here with something, it's really that don't give up trying to step up. Don't give up trying to use the tools that the Lord has given you. And knowing that you may not always see clearly. Okay, I couldn't see those antelope clearly, but I knew they were antelope there. And I can't always see what God's will is clearly, but I know His will is there. And I know it will lead me to the eventual goal of service to Him and the eventual goal of life eternal. Thank you.